was with great sadness that many people learnt yesterday of the passing of Brian Wright, well known for his footballing career with Derry City and Finn Harps, also had a spell with Coleraine and even cross channel with Port Vale. A great character, a great player, and we're going to reflect now on some of his great moments and the joy that he brought to many. Joining me on the line, Martin Holmes, regular commentator for Highland Radio at the Brandywell, and who sat beside Brian, who was on match analysis for many a game, and Richie Kelly, a former player, of course, a teammate of Brian Wright, known by many the voice of BBC Radio Foyle. Good afternoon to both of you, gentlemen, and welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Martin, perhaps I'll start with you. Many a game you sat alongside Brian, and he had borne his illness with great dignity, sadly passing away yesterday, and he will be sorely missed.
Absolutely, Chris. It's a massive loss, firstly for Kitty and the family, and for the people of his area and Craigan, but for football fans of a certain generation. Brian Wright was an iconic figure. Richie knows him very, very well, like I do. I knew Brian for most of my 50 years living on this planet, from when I was a very young boy, and he just had a great passion for football, particularly the League of Ireland, and of course Derry City and Finn Harps, in that order, were his great passions. And he always had that age for Derry because he was from Derry, but he always looked out for Finn Harps, and he went to watch Harps regularly, quite a lot. So a very, very sad loss, and somebody we'll miss greatly at the station, and obviously at Derry City games as well.
Now, Richie, of course, you played with Brian, and if we go back maybe to Finn Harps' arrival on the League of Ireland scene, and nobody knew how this new team would get on, Brian was involved right from the start and made history from the word go.
He made history, as you say, on the opening day of the first time a Donegal team played competitive League of Ireland football was in the Dublin City Cup, and we were hammered, of course, as most people now know, 10-2. But Brian scored the first goal in Finn Harps' first goal in senior competitive football, and it was a goal from a header crossed by Jimmy Bartley, and I always reflected on it afterwards in the sense that Brian was the smallest man on the field, and yet he scored with a header. But I'll tell you what, he was very much part of that that Finn Harps squad that went into senior football, and of course, as we now know, Harps recovered dramatically from that 10-2 defeat to, you know, do a lot of other stuff that season, and Brian was a key man, Chris.
And that was back in August 1969, almost 50 years ago. Prior to that, Richie, if we go back a bit further, I suppose, and we don't have it anymore, the much-lamented Buncrana Summer Cup, that was, I suppose, one of the first competitions where he really attracted attention.
I think that's perfectly true, Chris. The Summer Cups were huge competition, particularly the bigger competitions like Omagh and Buncrana, and they were full of senior players. And he played there for Foyle the Harps from Derry, and Foyle the Harps are probably the most famous Summer Cup team of them all, because they won, I can't remember now, 5-6 Buncrana Cups on the trot, and Brian was very much a key player in that. He really was a key man, and he had a quite splendid football career. He was a very, as you were suggesting earlier, and he was a very, very good player, clever player. And he had a long association with senior football.
And he represented Derry City. Younger folk won't maybe realise this, but back in the 1957 Cup final, and there was some dispute about his age.
That's right. Well, I think the stuff that's written suggests he was 15 and a half years of age or all that, but I think he was approaching 17, but he was very, very young to play in a senior cup final. The 1957 cup final, Derry City were in that final. They were playing Glenavon, their hoodoo team in their Irish League days, and Brian was in that side. He had made his first appearance in the semi-final when I think they beat Linfield. But in the final, he was just approaching 17. He was born in June 1940, and he's approaching 17, and they lost 2-0 to Glenavon. But that was the beginning of a long career. He had, that spell at Derry City, and then of course he moved on to a lot of other clubs, and he spent virtually all his footballing life as a senior footballer.
And Martin, after his playing days, he was there to see the rejuvenation of Derry City back into the League of Ireland, and some great years, I suppose, in particular that treble.
Well, of course, I mean, the treble team from 88, 89 are legends, and it's a feat that'll never be equaled. I mean, even if a club did it now, they're so advanced in their training, their diet, the money available to them, the quality of player, and still nobody has done it. So a great achievement, and he was always very proud of that, and he favoured a lot of the treble players, and he was good friends with people like Felix and Liam Coyle, and he just loved going to the Brandywell and Derry City games. Just to go back about the piece about the youngest player in a final, I remember being in his company one time and somebody told him that the former League of Ireland player Barry Keogh had broken his record, and he didn't take this very well. He was really, really put out about that, because somebody had previously told him that they thought he was the youngest player in the world they've ever played in a senior cup final. So we wore this badge of honour with great pride, and then when they heard the story about Barry Keogh, that really ruffled his feathers. But a great character. You know yourself, Chris and Richie, I mean, any time you were in his company, he just held court, and especially when there were functions in Donegal that he was at, and Brian would be sitting, and because he played for Harps, there was just this aura, and people would gather around him and get stories from the past that they'd heard before, but maybe not told as well as Brian could tell them. But an absolutely fantastic character, and a really true great football man.
Yeah, and with Derry back in the League of Ireland, and so many great away days, and thousands of people travelling all over the country, I suppose it reignited his old appetite for the game as well.
I would think so, but I mean, as I said earlier, he'd been going to Fen Park for a long time before Derry appeared, and obviously when Derry came back, that he switched his allegiance, because it was right on his doorstep. And then when the chance came to join the broadcasting team at Highland, he took it, and I think he just took it like a duck to water, and it's not for everybody, that type of role, but he settled in very well, and he was able to give a really good analysis. And you know, where, no matter where you would go, and people knew that you were involved with Highland Radio, and you work with Brian Wright, and they would tell you their versions of their stories of Brian and their experiences of him. And when you meet football people again around Donegal, they just, you know, great time for him, and he was a very well liked figure no matter where he played, Sligo, Coleraine, Port Vale, Derry, wherever. Very well thought of player, but he was delighted that Derry got back, and the history that they've created in the League of Ireland, the treble and cup finals, and under Stephen Kenny and the Jim McLaughlin era, stuff like that, and the great individual players that they've produced. And I spoke about this before in the past, but Brian had two qualities that I was envious of, and that they really annoyed me. One of them was his ability, when the team sheet was produced at a game, to pick players out from the opposition, and he would go to the subs bench maybe and say, I saw that guy 2 years ago at Fen Park, or 18 months ago, or I'd seen him at Sligo. And the thing that annoyed me most about him when we watched live games was his ability to call a substitution 10, 15 minutes before it actually happened. You'd have thought he'd some line to the dugout. He would have said, I'll take the 8 off and that 14 can come on and do a better job. And he was never proved wrong in that. He had this great ability just to spot a player from the past that he'd seen, or, as I say, the substitutions. And you can only do that when you've got a real passion for the game of football and the league that you're watching. And he had both of those in abundance.
And Richie, going back to his earlier days again, and he had a spell at Port Vale and made quite an impact even in a short space of time.
He did indeed. I mean, he had quite a run in the team, I think, before he got injured. He played at Port Vale in the 62-63 season, and he played in midfield. And I think he had a spell in which he played 15-16 games on the trot, which he was a comfortable member of the side, I think, before he got an injury. And during that, he scored two goals. I'd just like to pick up on what Martin was saying there. I think what Martin's saying about his knowledge was intense. I was always surprised that he never got a chance to manage a football team, because he was very, very knowledgeable. I mean, I played along with him. We'd have dressing room discussions when we were playing League of Ireland football, and Brian knew what was going on in the game. He had that. He could read the game, and he understood the game in a way. And I was rather surprised that if he'd been given a chance to manage, I think he could have been a very successful manager, because he could see the trend of what was happening in the match. And I remember games. I remember us in a cup match against Dundalk, and replay. They had changed the team. The Dundalk team changed, and it was people were saying why the guy who had been wearing the number 9, his big centre forward, can't remember his name, and when the team sheet came into our dressing room, he was now wearing number 11, and there was some consternation. I mean, what kind of positional switches are they making? And I remember Brian just said, look, Paddy Doherty, our right back, has been overlapping. They've just moved the guy over to the left side to stop Paddy from doing the overlap. And that's exactly what happened when we went out in the park. And that was the kind of knowledge he had. I'd like to say, Chris, one other thing about Brian Reid as a player. He was a small man, but I'll tell you what, he was a competitive man. And remember this, Brian Wright played in the midfield in a different era from what we're in now. In the era now, if a fella touched you with a small finger on your shoulder, he gets a free kick. In the era that Brian played, and he was not a tall man, in the era that Brian played, the midfield was a ferocious area. There was a lot of hard challenges within in the centre of the field. And I'll tell you something, Brian Wright, for a small man, he knew how to look after himself. He knew how to run the game, but he knew also he could deal. He was able to deal brilliantly with the physical aspect of it. And sometimes younger players in those days, or sorry, lighter, smaller people in those days, found it hard to play in senior football. But Brian didn't, because there was just a steel in his play as well. So apart from being a cultured guy who could play the football, he could also do the other business, the hard stuff as well. And that's why he was, personally from my perspective, I enjoyed playing along with him. I learned a lot from him, and I thought he made a huge contribution to football in Derry and in Sligo. I don't think actually he ever played for Coleraine, but he certainly was at Port Vale, he was at Sligo, and he was at Derry, and at all those clubs he was a decisive contributor, and he helped Finn Harps immensely adjust to the pace of senior football, because he was knowledgeable and he was very helpful to the manager, and in terms of reading the action in different games. So I think his contribution, particularly in Donegal, and I've been a Donegal man, was quite pleased today that someone like that was in the side. And he was, I think he deserves to be remembered, and he deserves this wee discussion, and all the things that Martin was saying there about him, all of those things are perfectly true. He was a special kind of footballer, you know.
And rounding things off, Richie, of course, with Harps, you mentioned that the game being so different then, so too were the pitches, and no doubt there were some great battles against the likes of Cork Hibs and Cork Celtic and Sligo Rovers, and nothing more that he would relish than going out on a tough, wet day and a bit of a glue pot of a surface.
No, I think all of that is perfectly true. And I mean, it didn't matter where we went, whether we were in Cork or Waterford, who are leading teams at that time, I suppose they still are yet, and we had difficult away matches. We were new to the League of Ireland, but the very fact that people like Brian was on the side, and then indeed the very fact that we were able as a Donegal club to bring in lots of players from Derry, that helped us immensely at that particular time, and it helped establish Finn Harps. Because remember this, there were people writing at that time that the Donegal team should not have been taken into the League of Ireland. I mean, they know nothing about senior football up there and that kind of stuff. But although we lost 10-2 in opening day, we finished the season, I think, in 6th or 7th place for a new team. We were the second or third highest score in the League of Ireland, and it was Brian Wright played a decisive part in that. Brian was at Harps, I think, for 2.5 seasons before he left, and he played a decisive part in establishing senior football in Donegal. And here we are 50 years later, and Harps are still in full cry.
Absolutely. Martin, just rounding things off as a co-commentator with you and match analyst, it was always quite apparent when he was talking, you know, the passion was there, and he enjoyed the game so much.
He loved the game of football, and I think, as I say earlier, he grew on the giving his analysis on it, and it took him a while to settle, but I thought he was great from the start. But once he got a grasp of the microphone and could see it and knew he was painting a picture for people who were sitting at home or were in cars or buses or wherever they were, or listening online in later years, he gives great analysis and great descriptions, and people tuned in their droves to hear him. And when people would hear me talking and they recognised my voice, and, oh, you're the guy who's on me, Brian Wright. Yeah, that's right. And they'd want to talk about him and how great he was, and you know, they remembered him playing for Harps or Derry or whatever club it was. But just a great man to have known, all of us probably to have known and worked with him, and it's just a really, really sad time. And I thought last night, a big game against Dundalk, he loved those big games. He loved games against Dundalks and the Shelburnes, the good Shelburnes of the 80s and the 90s. He loved those battles, and last night, a full house at the Brandywell, he really would have loved that. And great to see Declan Devine back, and you know, trying to do an all-Derry thing now with the setup that they have there. So just a sad that he'll never see any of that again, but we did well with him.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, there we must leave it. Martin Holmes, Richie Kelly, many thanks for joining me this afternoon as we just cast our minds back and give some thoughts about Brian Wright, who has sadly left us a great soccer player who will be sadly missed by his family, of course, and all those in the wider football family and community. Martin Holmes, regular commentator who sat beside him for many a game, and Richie Kelly, formerly on several teams with Brian and with BBC Radio Foyle, of course. Gentlemen, thank you very much.